and feel safe to do that relatively. So I don't know where to stand on it.
Okay. Are we including this in the podcast?
No.
No.
Why do you really want to?
I don't know. It's a nice little chat, I thought. And well, greetings, ladies and gentlemen. And this is the Casterbus podcast with a K, available to you on casterbus.com, iTunes, Stitcher.com, and Audio Boom. Two packets of sherbet, please, sir. Greetings, ladies and gentlemen. My name's Christian Corley. With me are James McLean and Brian Terranova. Hello.
That's actually the true pronunciation of my last name there. Most people don't know that. You're very good at it.
Yeah, there's like 13 N's in there, isn't there?
Yeah.
Yeah. Sorry, mate.
Most people don't Terranova that.
Yeah.
Oh.
Exactly.
She's going to be the Casterbulous podcast.
If you'd have done that in a Michael Caine accent, that'd have really worked, James.
I don't know how to do that.
Never mind.
Doesn't
Never
come with
mind.
My social class.
No, and nor I. Hang on a minute. No, oh, right. No, that's the wrong way around.
Yeah.
Oops. Not a lot of people, etc. Hey, before we get on to what we're really going to talk about this week, which I think, a lot like me, you're both dreading. Do you see the BBC team that works with BBC Wales, Milk, and the other one whose name escapes me at the moment, won the TV Craft BAFTA for the special effects on Deep Breath?
Yes.
No.
Yes, they did, for Half Face Man, presumably.
I'm not doubting that. I just didn't see it. That was your question.
Rather than the dinosaur. I don't know, but there's a lot of half-faced man in the accompanying clip. So well done to them, because it is an exercise in... it is a very good special effect, you probably realised, I think.
Yes, anyone? Well done.
Yeah, well done to them.
Yeah.
And again, until we... Just to pad the time before the inevitable, chaps, did you have a good weekend?
Yes.
Do
it
anything?
Was a lovely weekend.
Yeah? Did you go anywhere? Do anything hooey?
Nothing hooey. No, I haven't been doing much hooey lately, to be honest. Did anything... Just went out with Ariel. We just had a nice meal, spent a lot of time together, really. Nothing. There was nothing like no fancy shindigs to go to or anything like that. It was just a nice weekend.
Okay, and James?
Yeah, I was a similar. I sat in front of the computer working my way through a paper on the the political satirical positioning of RoboCop between 2014 and 1987. So very, very similar, really. One of us had a great time and one of us cried under the bed for three hours or so.
How did you know where I was crying?
Were you under his bed? What's going on?
There's lots of room.
What did I do at the weekend? I was working for quite a bit of Saturday, and I was and there were some tears as well, because of a football related thing. Because as I was working, I was checking the BBC scores and saw that Middlesbrough were losing 2-0 in a very important end of season match, which would have seen them get automatic promotion, and they ended up losing it 4-3 after coming back to 3-3. So that brought a few tears to my eyes. We'll leave the football there.
Well, no, we won't, because I was in the same situation with Norwich on Saturday.
Were you? Right.
They drew when they really needed to do a lot better for the exact
Yes,
same
they
reason.
Did, didn't they? Yeah.
Anyway.
Okay.
Yeah, so and that thing they did with that ball that one time, you know, during the thing.
Yeah, yeah.
Man, that thing they never do with the ball all the time.
God, man, that got me right in the heart. You know what I mean? You
know, I know.
How it feels. It's, yeah. It's
the ball. That ball.
It's ludicrous.
And the netty thing. Never understand the fixation with that netty thing.
That netty, right. What I mean, come on.
There's a weird fixation because they love the netty thing. And yet at the same time, they're repulsed by the netty thing, depending on which direction they're looking. You notice that? That's really kind of it screws my mind, man. Then halfway through, turncoat. Suddenly they love their netty thing and they hate the other one, as if they've been betrayed mid-time while they've been on a break, and the one netty thing has been sleeping with their wife. Well, I don't know. It's a funny game, that. The bottom
Yeah,
of it
you know,
to me. What are
weird
we doing
stuff.
this week?
Time of the Rani.
Oh.
So you want to talk about that netty thing some
Yeah,
more?
the netty thing. What was it about that netty thing, eh? That ball and the netty thing. I don't know. Oh, netty.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. So, Time and the Rani, which was the Doctor Who episode serial, which introduced a new Doctor played by Sylvester McCoy. It saw the return of the Rani, played by Kate O'Mara. Also, the
This is a
return.
funeral.
No, it's Time of
There's
the
no
Rani's funeral.
enthusiasm in this whatsoever. It's taken
Time of the
what,
Rani's
5 years?
funeral.
Is it 5 years to get to this? We've talked about it like virtually every week in some way or another.
10 minutes. And Bonnie Langford returns as Mel. Now, we
That's
have
it. Next
given.
item.
We have given Time of the Rani some hell over the last 4 years of doing this podcast. And yes, James, it has been 4 years.
Oh, 4. Feels like 5.
Yes, well, we're series five, but I do series
It's
five has
like a
been
Norwich game.
the
The first.
Christian and Brian ones are series five,
Sure.
and then you come
I
in
was there in
series
spirit.
two.
Yeah.
So, and you know, we've talked about Time of the Rani a lot, and we've given it hell. We're gonna we've ripped it to shreds, and do you know that it's probably now is the time, now that we've watched it all recently, except for James,
I
is
have.
to
I've watched it.
have
That's why I'm in such a bad mood, yeah.
you? Is to give it a chance to stand up for itself in some way by reappraising it more recently. Now, James, in recent weeks we've done podcasts dedicated to particular serials, and James has
Yeah.
succeeded in not watching any of them,
Yeah,
apart
absolutely.
from when he originally watched them, or perhaps first bought the VHS or DVD or whatever. And Brian and myself have watched them all. Brian, did you watch Time of the Rani?
No.
When did you last watch Time of the Rani?
I fairly recently watched it. It was a couple months ago, but I would say 2014 probably was the last time.
So that's okay. Now, so you're the same. James has changed his modus operandi for these. True to form, I missed the final episode.
Right, okay. What does it mean to
Thrown
admit being
into
called
a
Time of the
coma,
Rani?
thrown
I
into a
thought.
coma as I was by part three.
There you go.
Oh dear. Good
Yes.
start.
Yes, I know. But
Well, good third part.
yeah. But do you know what? I think there's possibly a chance that we've maybe have been in some ways a little bit unfair on the serial.
No, we haven't.
No, I just no, I think there are some positives in there which I've cruelly
I agree.
overlooked over the years. And I think it's important that we should probably talk about some of the positives before we start getting into kind of nitpicky territory and turn the strips off it and all that kind of thing. Sylvester McCoy isn't as bad in it as I recalled him being when I watched it, and I haven't watched Time and the Rani since 1987, apart from odd clips and glimpses on seeing that it was on UK Gold and think, well, I remember that. I'm not watching that one again. McCoy isn't as bad as I thought he was. Obviously, there's that whole
Yes.
There's the CGI section at the beginning, which is a bit dated, but you know, it gets away with it. It's
Yeah.
still more advanced than any video game at the time. McCoy's fine most of the way through, from what I can recall. The mixed
That's it.
metaphors is a bit jarring, and I'm glad they phased it out or toned it down considerably by the end of his run. Mel is annoying as hell. Let's be honest there. And Kate O'Mara is really good as Bonnie Langford. She makes a better Mel than Bonnie Langford does, really. So all in all, and you know, we'll get into more detail later on. I do think that we've been a little bit unfair on Time of the Rani. It isn't quite as bad, and it probably isn't as bad as The Mysterious Planet, which was very astutely mentioned to us by Gareth a few months back as being an equally poor. Possibly a little bit worse, dot two. Brian.
Yes.
I mean, when did you first watch Time of the Rani?
For me, that would have been maybe 95.
Okay.
Because, I've talked about it before, but, that was kind of when I rediscovered Doctor Who around 94, 95, maybe 96, something like that. But I think it was 95. Yeah, it had to have been. And when I did, I caught a marathon on PBS
The
of
Time in the
Doctor
Rani
Who.
marathon.
Well, no, it was I don't know how I would have felt. It was a Doctor Who marathon where they were showing all of the first and last episodes of each Doctor that, of course, still survived. And,
Okay.
for me, it was a time of just going, wow, I remember this show because it had been off air, at least on my local PBS station, for quite a while. I actually found it on the New Jersey network, which is, the next state over. So it's not really my local network. But I saw some of the Tom Baker and Peter Davison ones, and then I saw Colin Baker. I believe they showed Colin Baker. I remember the outfit, but certainly when they got to Sylvester McCoy, I remembered thinking, and it was Time in the Rani, and I remembered thinking, oh my God, this show is still going on. And of course, when you read the end credits, you realize, oh no, this was 89, but or 87, whatever that was. But yeah, I just remembered sitting, like, I have fond memories of this story because I remembered sitting there thinking, oh my God, this show, I remember this show, the show is back, and there's things of this show that I have not seen. Because here, primarily, at least growing up in the 80s, you saw Tom Baker or Peter Davison, maybe a little bit of John Pertwee. Certainly, that's my memory of it anyway. And I don't remember ever seeing Colin Baker or Sylvester McCoy before the 90s. So yeah, I was a little excited by that, and it was a little, it was kind of like a nostalgic kind of thing to be there, or rather with that story, to be watching that and seeing something new. I wasn't quite as harsh on it watching it for the first time. It was kind of more so, wow, there's this Doctor Who I've never seen before. Isn't that exciting kind of feeling?
Okay, so how does your more recent viewings of Time of the Rani correspond with your original viewing? Because if it was a show that you thought didn't realize it was still going on, and you find this new episode that is ha has a reputation.
I'll be honest. I'm not. When it comes to Sylvester McCoy, I like the second half of his era better. There's kind of a split during his second season where things start to turn around and get good. They change the direction of the actor, or rather, the direction of the character for the Doctor. But even so, the stories in the first half of his era, I don't think they're bad. I think they suffer from bad things within them, and that can be acting, that can be writing, and that could be characters, monsters, what have you. I actually enjoy Time of the Rani. I like to put it on from time to time, probably because I have those memories connected to it. And I think I've talked about this before, but I also remembered watching a horribly edited VHS copy that I had of it that cut out chunks and chunks of episodes every maybe 2 minutes, 30 seconds or so, because my VHS player, my VCR rather, was dying as I was recording the episode. But I like to put the story on because I like the Rani. I actually think she's got a fairly good plot in the story, even if it's not really realized really well. I love regeneration stories for all the Doctors, so I love watching them. It's a shame that it's a bit of a mixed bag, but I don't mind. As much as I'm not a big fan of Sylvester being that kind of really goofy, goofy, and like you said, mixing up metaphors and so on in his first, season or so, I don't mind it in the first episode because every doctor's a little out of sorts in the first episode. So I really didn't mind it in this story for that reason alone. But I think I didn't, as much as we already knew the Rani was a master of disguise, I think the bits with her doing a Mel impression, like you said, was very good acting. She did a very good job pretending to be her. It was something that I felt kind of went on a little too long. I was kind of like, can we just get this over with now? Like, there's too much Mel in this story right now, But I liked ideas within it. I remember one of my favorite parts of it is actually those landmines that the Randy left out that were that blew up into that bubble. I thought those were really clever, a neat little design, and a cool effect, as well as a scare tactic. Like, rather than just blow up your victim, you give them time to think, oh crap, I'm going to die now as I'm being hurled into the sky. Like, you've got so many different scare factors going on right there. I thought it was neat. But yeah, I guess that's where I'm at. I think it's got good things. I think it's got bad things, but I can still sit there and enjoy it.
Okay. Do you? Well, no. We'll come back to that later. So, James.
I was washing a cup out yesterday. My housemate had made me some food the night before, which was very nice of him. We'd had some quiche. He's French, and I was washing out my cup to have one of my lovely latte coffees. And as I was washing it out and chatting, I looked, and the sponge I was using was still caked with horrible pastry. And I'd been wiping it all around the cup. I was very, very irritated. I threw it aside. I picked up a whisk and I started, after I put the coffee in, I was whisking away. Then I looked at the whisk, and the whisk also he had used in whisking the pastry mix and was covered in bits of pastry, which took me 10 minutes to get out of the whisk. The good thing in this story was if I'd not been there, I could have been somewhere else where something worse could have happened to me. And this is where Time and the Rani sits. It is a terrible bit of television, but in its defense, I could have been somewhere else being killed. It is
That
a yeah,
right. Right there. Okay.
Right. Oh no, it is. I mean, I watched it. It is terrible in virtually every way. And as I've said before, if I'm going to be serious, there was a lot of pressures, stresses on the series at the time. You can't be surprised that in those sort of situations, things don't gel. Sometimes things just fall apart, and it really does fall apart in virtually every way. Kate O'Mara is good. Her plot is terrible. You know, this whole notion that human minds are the geniuses, of course, it's got to be Einstein that's got to be put into the machine. It can't be, it's such a flawed cliche that it's always got to be these 20th century known people or philosophers, or which bugs me. While she is, I will say, she is very good. Kate O'Mara perhaps is the only thing which holds the whole story together, even though she's got the most terrible motivations and sort of pantomime positioning. She does do a very good job. She does Mel very well. She does the Rani very well. McCoy is just terrible. And I'm a massive advocate. He's possibly one of my favourite doctors still. But in that first episode, he is just everywhere. He and the direction is awful,
The
which doesn't
direction
help
is
McCoy.
extremely flat. Absolutely couldn't agree more on the direction.
I
It's
mean,
terrible.
those moments in the first episode where he awakens and he has his first, and then later on when he meets Mel as well, the direction is so flat. It just feels like you're watching rehearsals.
Rehearsal, yeah.
There's no feeling of television there at all. So to be fair to McCoy, he's having to play a very exaggerated moment, but the direction has just got nothing to help him, and the editing as well. Editing and the direction is absolutely pitiful, so it looks like you're watching either a rehearsal or a stage play. And there's no reason that should have been. I've seen stuff like that done that's being cut into something which looks professional. You pull most films apart, moments like that will look like Time and the Rani before it's actually edited. It's terrible. There's no feeling of the Lycurgus community. You don't really believe they exist as a people on that planet. There's no, they just feel implemented for a story. Mel is terrible all the way through.
Their leisure
The only
place is very kind of retro. It's almost like something from Tom Baker's last series.
Yes, it is.
Yeah, I
It
was gonna
just
say it's
feels like
like
Pleasure
I
Hive.
don't want to say the leisure hive because that would be far too obvious, but it has a feeling of that sort of.
Yes, it does. You're quite right. It does. And it's quite nice. I don't mind that, but it doesn't give you a feeling of who they are still or how they live. It feels devoid, detached of any sort of social understanding. It's got the same cliches as well, the person working for the end, the collaborator, or the rebel, who just seems to spend his time running around a quarry. He doesn't seem to have any plan. Until Mel turns up, I just imagine he's just been like a computer game AI character, just running from backwards and forth, from one place to another. There's no feeling of understanding there at all. There is really little going about this, as you say. The way McCoy's done is terrible. There's a couple of moments where he just shines a tiny bit. One thing I did quite like, I must admit, is Keitamara's abuse of him in the first two parts, where he's been constantly thrown against things and pushed around. If again the direction had been a little more snappy, they could have been quite funny in their sort of viciousness, and it's like a Basil Fawlty Manuel like slapstick. But they don't quite even pull that off. His costume changing section for fans might be a bit of fun, but really is terrible. It just doesn't work. You don't feel any justification for anything in it. The whole idea of trying to trick him into thinking it's his experiment feels like it's this, feels like Rod and Emu television show. You almost
Well,
watch.
that betrays the writers, really, doesn't it?
It does as well. I mean, as I say, I mean, again, we know that all these people are under a lot of pressure at the time to turn over a very new show with no real idea of where it was going in very unusual circumstances. So again, you're not saying these people have been unprofessional. It's just simply what they delivered just didn't have really anything. The tet traps don't live up to anything. They look like they should have potential. The being able to see in all directions should have potential. The reveal is pathetic after this very long whole episode of not seeing them, and then when they're revealed, it just looks awful. Their underground lair's got a bit of suspense. There are, I agree with Brian as well. I mean, I remember as a kid, the mines are actually quite scary for that very reason that he sort of says, because they give you time to realize that you're going to die. So the mines were effective if we are trying to really scrape for things that are good. The score isn't so bad. Occasionally it's a little too light, but there are some moments where it works. The effects are okay. The quarry is okay. The pink sky is okay. As you say, Christian, you've got to excuse the computer graphic TARDIS. That's just a sign of the times of them experimenting and trying to move forward. So let that go. But yeah, it really is a total mess. It's the One Regeneration story, which is just absolutely totally flat. I still think Mysterious Planet is better, even though Mysterious Planet is boring. It at least has a certain amount of quality to it.
I
So
would
it's
say the
boring.
Twin Dilemmas is pretty flat as well, to be honest, because that's one
True.
regeneration story that I can't watch, to be honest. I have great difficulty watching that story.
Yeah, but again, at least the production again still feels okay, even though the story is terrible and the
Well,
characterization is terrible.
it was in a better era, I give you that's for sure.
But with this, there is just really nothing going for it apart from the fact that you just don't have to engage. You can just sit back and let the pain take you. There's nothing there to. There's no concept. I mean, the Strange Matters, is a good concept, but it just doesn't work. It just, in a lot of ways, Time and the Rani is sadly the embodiment of what people say Doctor Who was tired by the 80s. That is an example of where Doctor Who is tired. It's just going through every old recycled idea with little enthusiasm, with no energy, and no delivery.
Well,
And it's just a shame.
it also feels very CBBC as well.
It does, yeah. It does. And again, I think a lot of that comes down to the direction, though. And
Direction and the
the
writers, scriptwriters, yeah.
yeah,
Because
absolutely.
most of their work had been on CBBC before and after, so
But
yeah.
you can sort of let that go sometimes. I mean, Paradise Towers has a similar sort of, has a similar sort of aesthetic and direction. The direction's a little better, I think, in Paradise Towers. Actually, no, it's a lot better, to be fair. But there's pockets in that first series which feels a bit like Time in the Rani, but nothing is as dead and as lifeless as Time in the Rani. Paradise Towers does have moments in it. Delta and the Bounty, I think,
I
is good.
agree. Paradise Towers does have its moments in it, but I have to say, Paradise Towers is another one that's harder to watch for me. I think, when you get the main villain kind of character, I guess if you want, in the general or whatever rank he was, with a pinky purple kind of suit, and everything just seemed so cheap and colorful and cheerful. And I understand that that's kind of how Time in the Rani was as well. But at least like they were creating a whole alien world. I liked the pink sky myself, to be honest. I like when they manipulate stories like that, and I believe they even did that in a Colin Baker story during the Trial of the Time Lord.
Yeah, mind what.
Yes, they did. There you go. See, I like that stuff. I like when we can try and make this planet look like another planet rather than like this planet every time they land on another planet. But I also liked how the Lycurgians, they had their own kind of look. And sure, it was all that whole samey kind of uniformed thing where they all dressed alike and looked alike. And, but I like that. With Paradise Towers, it had good moments, but it had a lot of bad things. That was, Paradise Towers. That was the Kangs, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, I thought so. I was gonna say that has the
But
Kangs, that
at
has
least
that guy, well, I forget his name now, who thinks he's a superhero, but he's not a superhero. The old
right.
ladies in their apartment, that was kind of cool. They worked because they were a little creepy. And some of those elements worked, but a lot of that story just didn't work for me. And I don't
Oh,
know.
I
I would
agree.
say that while Paradise Towers was more flat, as you said, in directing and so on, I think it worked better as a whole, Time and the Rani, excuse me, than Paradise Towers.
Oh, I see. I think at least Paradise Towers has got, at least there is some sort of message. There is some sort of discourse there going on, about social hierarchies, about the future. These enclosed embodied states of these low high-rise towers which were everywhere in the 80s, and there's things going on there. So there is a certain social critique, isn't there? There is something, even though it doesn't quite work, and the cleaners are terrible. There is that sort of CBBC feel to it.
I think the difference is, I think what James is trying to say is that Paradise Towers is, although it isn't detailed and it doesn't go very far into it, and does, and you know that it has its roots in certain novels, it is about something, whereas Time and the Rani isn't about anything, is it really?
That's what I find, yeah.
Yeah.
It's, I mean, I think if they'd actually done even a little more, like, go back to Mysterious Planet, and actually gave it a feeling that, where the Lycurgians lived was different to where the Rani was based. But it just felt, it did, it actually felt, even though I agree with Brian, the use of the pink sky, especially at the time, worked. But the fact that there was no change to the geography, it was just this quarry pit, just made it feel like it was all set in a quarry pit, in a sort of, that, one end was Lycurgians and at the other end was the Rani, and that was the whole planet. So
Well, they
even the
do that a lot in
settings didn't
Doctor
work.
Who too. I mean, we've talked
They
about that
can do,
before,
yeah.
that we don't explore an entire planet. We explore a small section, and then the Doctor leaves saying, "Oh, that was a great planet, wasn't it, guys?"
But
Well, they
even
kind
like,
of
say,
subvert it as well in the in oh, th there's kind of a semi attempt to subvert it in the Doctor's daughter, which doesn't come off at all.
yeah. But
But
I mean
just going
that.
back to the Quantel paint box for the thing for the pink skies, that was first used in the Leisure Hive.
What now?
The Quantel paint box is the tool that they use to make the pink skies.
Oh, is that what that's called? Okay.
Yeah, in like Mind Warp and in Time of the Rani, and it was first used in the Leisure Hive.
That makes sense. Seeing
I don't know if it's for covering the sky or if that was for the duplicates. I have a feeling it was for the duplicates, the clones.
Yeah. Okay, I was going
Yeah.
to say, because I would have swore the alien planet on that story was all studio or
Yeah,
models.
I think so. So yeah, I'm pretty sure it's. I think it is the clones. Sorry, James, you were going to say something there.
I'm trying to remember. Yeah, I think I was going to say is that, no, it's like with the Mysterious Planet. You have where the inhabitants live. They live out sort of slightly outside the forest, while Mysterious Planet stuff takes up inside the forest, and that sort of hybrid location use is sort of very effective in these sort of small television shows to a certain degree. If you have to, like Mysterious, like the Dead Planet, you have the forest, you have the Dalek City. Audiences tend to like to have two different sort of geographical spots to differentiate or feel there's a sense of movement. Even the Power of Kroll has, the oil rig and the weed area. You have two very separate areas. Time and the Rani, you don't have anything. It's just all set in that same spot, so you don't
Yeah.
feel. I think that makes it suffer as well. Is you've got no feeling of a world, even as he says, Brian says, we don't obviously have the space or the money there to explore a world, but you don't even have an illusion of the world. It's just a quarry pit. And then, of course, we haven't even talked, and we probably shouldn't, because we'll never stop on the terrible opening. This horrendously lazy approach to trying to get past the fact Baker wasn't in it, where the TARDIS is pulled off course, which just happens to be passing by, and
Well, we
lands and
probably,
degenerates.
I mean, we probably should. I just want to go back to Quantel a moment. It's been used in a lot
Sure.
of interesting things. It was used for the front cover of The Miracle by Queen, which is one where they all share a head. It was,
Right.
yeah, it was also used on the Money for Nothing video as well.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, so they used a Bosch FGS 4000 3D animation system and a Quantel paint box for backgrounds and textures. It's been used in loads of things over the years. The BBC have done very well out of it. It would seem. I'm pretty sure it was used in across the board. Once they started getting used to how it worked, they'd put it on virtually anything that they could for making snow or whatever. I wonder if it was involved in the Box of Delights as well. I'm not sure about that. But yeah, you're right. I mean, this is really a time where they should have just abandoned the idea, not abandoned the idea of regeneration, but just take it as read that the Doctor had regenerated.
I mean, they could have even done it in a slightly different route, and of course, it made a different story. Had the TARDIS land, and then the door open, and then have a different person come out, and play the audience like that, that,
Yeah,
or
I was
not
going to
have
say
them
the
come out
same.
immediately, have Mel come out, and being unable to get the Doctor to come out. So the Doctor doesn't come out till halfway through the episode or something, so you can play on that. But
They could have even have done the name of the Doctor route as well and used some body doubles
yeah, or
up
they could have
until a
done like,
point where the Doctor regenerates.
or the Christmas invasion, which I know we'd had the regeneration, but you could have just had simply the Doctor fall out in the clothes, and not had to play the regeneration. He could have been newly regenerated. It
Yeah.
could be, it could have even been that the last adventure we don't see had him regenerate, and Mel's trying to get him help as they've been pulled off course. There could be more adult ways to have approached it.
Yeah, I would have honestly, I would have liked to have seen either Mel kind of like talking about something that happened to the doctor, especially since they get separated and she's talking to Yukanos. I believe that's who it was anyway. Explaining to him what's going on, she could be explaining that her friend needs help and just kind of give like tidbits of what happened on, give Colin a better way out than the classic joke that he's got a bump on his head, which honestly that just annoys the hell out of me. But I also think it would have worked if he had come out of the box, or as you said, Mel came out first and then he came out later. But we did find out that it was the Ronnie's doing and there was something that happened in a previous adventure, or at least a scene that we did not get to see, and maybe her leading them here was not a plan. It's just where his TARDIS landed, and she continued there to finish the job, a certain bit of revenge against him in some way, somehow. And we get tidbits, we just get little nods to what actually happened and how threatening she is, and how like the depths that she's willing to take care of the doctor, essentially. I think that would have been better because then you would have at least had her seem more of a threat. You would have had the death seem more meaningful, and it certainly would have been a more interesting story base. It's a little bit tough with the Ronnie though, because I usually don't see her as someone who openly just wants to go out and kill people. She seems a little bit more interested in her science experiments at whatever cost it's going to be. So I did like the fact that they had her have a science experiment rather than be out for revenge, like say the way the master would be, but it might have still worked better in some way, like perhaps he interrupted her last science experiment and this was the outcome.
You could have done it, which would have been a very innovative way, but a very simple way, which should have worked for the time, and had the Doctor appear as McCoy, and then you could have had him with his memory issues. He could even be flashbacking to a previous adventure where you use a point of view camera. So you don't have to have Colin in there, but you can still see the arms, you can still see the costume,
Yeah,
which
that could
sort
have
of gives
worked.
you a sort of small flashback narrative to what caused the regeneration, which could link to him actually discovering through that about the Rani on this planet, which means that he was directly coming here anyway, because in the previous adventure, that dovetailed, that interlinked in and brought him into the position where he was there. So you
That's
could have
quite a
sort of had
developed
flashbacks.
approach, James. That sounds like a
But it's
second
not
draft to me.
It's not horrendously developed, though, is it? I mean,
No, I'm
it's
being
not. I mean, it doesn't
sarcastic.
take you. You know what I mean. It doesn't
I'm
take
making a
much of
poke
a.
at the writers.
Yeah, I see what you mean. But that, to me, would have covered the fact that you could have indulged in a regeneration relevant. You could have indulged the Sixth Doctor without making it about Colin Baker, keeping it about McCoy. You could have added a little bit more of a suspense, people trying to, gradual flashbacks leading to a revelation which links to the story that you've got, and it would have also made it seem less sort of lazy that he's just pulled off course. And the sad thing is, if they again we talk about the problems with the production, if the production had had a little more time, a little more confidence, you never know, maybe something like the McCoy Doctor would have started earlier, and that would have been a perfect lead into the McCoy Doctor, of him having a secret from his past which informs the story in the present, that he had intentions to be there all along. Again, it's easy to say with hindsight, but
It's
it's just frustrating.
Yeah, I'll have a look at the episodes. They went out on the 7th, 14th, 21st, and 28th of September in 1987. I started school the week of the 7th of September, 1987. Senior school, obviously, not primary school. Dear listener. And
I remember the end of episode one and thinking, I don't know how the hell Mel's going to get out of that, and missing the beginning of episode two and never finding out and then not caring much. But it was
I
interesting when
remember
I did
watching the
finally get
first
sick of
episode. I distinctly
it.
remember watching the first episode. Not too sure about much of the rest of it. I think I largely avoided the rest of that series. I didn't start watching it again properly until the following series.
I think there is a couple of gutsy things they do, like the girl they introduced in episode one at the very beginning in the prologue. She gets killed almost straight away by one of the mines,
Yes.
and I wasn't expecting that.
No.
And Doctor Who in this era tends to like to do that occasionally, takes a sympathetic character and then kills them as if that's their sort of edgy bit, and then that's it. There's no more edginess to it. But.
The viewers, now this is when we were opposite Coronation Street. 5.1 million watched the first episode, 4.2 for the second, 4.3 for the third, and 4.9 for the final episode, which is quite unusual for
So
Doctor Who.
decent.
So that's quite consistent throughout. I just wanted to have a chat as well, just to get away from the negativity as well. Just have a look at some of the people that we know that Kate O'Mara was in it. There's also two returnees. Well, there's Peter Tuddenham in there as well as one of the special voices. But more specifically, I was looking at Wanda Ventimore and Donald Pickering, who had both been in the Faceless Ones.
Right.
And Wanda Ventimore, of course, is the mother of Benedict Cumberbatch, for you Cumber bitches listening. I will not say that word ever again, by the way. And she was in Image of the Fendal, of course. And Donald Pickering was in Keys of Marinus. So there you go. As well as lots of other shows and films.
There was nothing
So,
wrong with the cast, was there? There was
yeah,
nothing
the
particularly off
casting's
with the
really
actors.
strong.
Yeah. It's just they've got nothing really, and it feels so vapid. I think it's just so frustrating being such a pivotal story. And I mean, the sad thing is that that story, I still think to a large degree, becomes a benchmark for how people perceive the McCoy era. And
Yeah.
that's another terrible sadness.
Yes.
Because nothing compares to that after it, apart from Kill the Moon. That's the only thing. Everything else is a step up, and yet that's the one that people remember from McCoy.
And next week's podcast, ladies and gentlemen, we'll be discussing ways in which we can retcon Kill the Moon. Perhaps.
That'd be so nice.
Yeah. Okay, so if you were feeling like you had to judge Time of the Rani in comparison with other Doctor Who serials,
Right.
would it be, number 252, or would it be, number 126? It probably wouldn't be number one, but where would you rate it?
Okay.
I know it's tough, isn't it?
It is tough because I would put it maybe just above the Twin Dilemma. And I'm trying to think if there's another McCoy story that I dislike even more, to be honest. But I would probably, right now, at least just the way I can, it would be at the very bottom of the list, sandwiched in between Paradise Towers and the Twin Dilemma,
Okay.
which would be last, probably,
I
in
would
my book.
probably put it somewhere in the bottom 12. I've never seen Planet of Evil in one sitting. It
Really?
absolutely bores the sh pants off me.
I really like Planet of Evil. I'm surprised to hear that.
I am saying Planet of Evil and not Face, aren't I? Yeah, Planet of Evil. I really have a lot of problems with Planet of Evil. So that is not one of my favourite Doctor Who's. Kill the Moon, and I'm afraid Forest of the Night as well, which is really, really
Oh,
hurts
God.
me to say because,
Oh, wait, we're including new series stories?
yeah,
Oh,
I'm,
yeah, so
everything
Kill the
ever,
Moon.
yeah.
Oh, geez, I thought we were just doing it in the
No,
classics.
ev
Anyway, I may
everything
have to
on
change my
TV.
answer, but you go on and finish yours.
Okay, everything on TV. So yeah, I'd have to put Kill the Moon and Forest of the Night in that bottom 12 as well. But and Time of the Rani is in the bottom 12. As far as I'm concerned, It's
Okay.
a bit, rewatching it, and although I didn't make it to the final episode, it
Mm.
has redeemed itself in some ways for me, but it's still, I do feel I've been a little bit too cruel to it, but it still is
It's
a
hard.
struggle.
It depends on what you're quantifying it on, doesn't it? I mean, it is terrible, Doctor Who, but I would certainly agree with you. Sorry, Brian, but it has better pace than Face of Evil. Sorry, Face of Evil, Planet of Evil. It has
Planet
better
of Evil.
pace than Planet of Evil,
Right.
which I find Planet of Evil is a lumbering watch as well.
Right,
And
okay.
yet, Time of the Rani, you can just switch off because the pace is quick and speedy enough that while it offers you nothing, it sometimes offers you cringe moments. It moves at a speed. So yeah, how do you quantify what's bad? I mean, Kill the Moon, I think, is an absolutely appalling episode on so many levels. Yet there are moments where the production values, and well, I suppose that's it really.
Okay, so
Well,
who's
stop
left?
there.
Who's left?
That's about it.
Well, me, since I have to change my answer because I didn't know we were doing new series stories. I'm sorry, but I would put at the very bottom, I would put Kill the Moon, then I would put Love and Monsters, then probably In the Forest of the Night, then the Matt Smith era, excluding Time of Angels, then I would put Time in the
Come on,
Ren.
Aaron.
The
Yeah,
entire
there we
era.
go.
I thought you were more of a two. I thought you were more of a series six's crap man. Not the entire era.
No, I like, okay, you know, I shouldn't say the entire era because I like Time of Angels and The Flesh and Stone. I like The Day of the Doctor. And there you go.
Okay.
I have
You've become very
major
hard.
issues, and I've mentioned them many times in this
Yeah,
podcast.
you
And
have. Yeah.
it's not to do with the actors, it's not to do with the characters. A lot of those are good. It's to do with the writing. And if we're going to talk about writing being not solid, and Time of the Rani certainly is up there. With that, we got to talk about Moffat and his era and what
Well,
happened there,
yeah.
and that whole Smith era is a mess. And I'm sorry, I know people love it to death, but I can't get behind it. It's like you guys fall asleep during those other shows, Planet of Evil and so on. I can't make it through a Matt Smith story without sitting there going, "My God, what crap!" And I'm sorry, Matt Smith is great, Karen Gillan is great, everybody's great, but they're acting in such horrible drivel. It's terrible, and I feel terrible saying that because I don't want to say that about any Doctor Who. But when it comes to Doctor Who stories, I never rewatch Matt Smith's era. I watch maybe those
Oh,
three
neither do
stories
I.
that I mentioned. Actually, I also liked
Girl
the end
Awaited.
of season five. I liked that the Pandorica opens, and I
What about
like
the Girl
that just
Awaited?
not really. No, it's
Okay.
okay, but no, I just not really into them. But no, I don't ever watch the Matt Smith era. And to be honest, I realize now I'm hardly even watching Capaldi's first season. There's God, there's a couple stories in there I could think that I would like to rewatch, but that's more than I can say for the Matt Smith era.
Well,
And it's terrible to say that.
Flatline and the Mummy on the Orient Express both stand up well.
I think they would, because those two were two of the good ones. And I even liked the Dalek story as for what it was. I know it's not perfect, but I enjoyed it, so I would probably watch that one again.
But this is the danger when you start interweaving arcs and to use a phrase in one of our recent articles, local continuity, where it becomes a point that you can start to damage every story by having reoccurring themes which don't gel or are abrasive to the audience. So through Capaldi's era, there's some great stuff, but if I watch even Flatline, I've got to cope with the tedious love triangle, love
Yeah.
thing arc that's still permeating it. Same with Into the Dalek, or and it means that each one becomes tainted, and so you lose interest in. So I can sort of get
I
that.
agree.
I find that as well. And yeah, some of the worst. It's terrible to say that because I mean there's been some good stuff, but some of the worst stuff I've seen have been A Good Man Goes to War, which I still think was
Yeah.
absolutely terrible and
Yeah, yes, I agree.
egotistical and just pitiful.
Yeah, well,
Let's kill Hitler.
the end of that series should have been the previous episode when the Doctor killed Amy with a
Yeah.
sonic screwdriver. That should have been that's a game-changing cliffhanger, not what which Moffat had promised, not what happened the following week.
Well, there was no, without starting to bash on his era, but like with Good Man Goes to War gets me annoyed because it's so pompous in it. This is going to be his greatest hour and his worst hour. And you never feel the worst hour at all. You don't feel that compared to all the other world. I mean, you know, you just had 3 years, 4 years ago, the talk of him wiping out his entire people. And in this one, he loses the baby, which he isn't dead, that he can probably go and find again. That's his darkest hour, really. And then the next episode, even Amy's not bothered, even though her mother's been taken to be subjugated into slavery for all her youth. She's just sitting by the phone, occasionally ringing the doctor to see if he's found him yet. You know, it's terrible stuff. And
Exactly.
yeah, now I'm
Yes.
getting angry. I'm thinking, yeah, I'm feeling sorry for Taimin and Irani, because while Taimin and Irani doesn't do anything here, you know, at least it's self-contained. It's trying its best, and at least you feel that the show is aware of its own fragility. There's no pompousness behind it. There's no arrogance. You feel it's a show that's under pressure to perform, and it can't. So you can at least pity it.
Pity
Well,
me.
I
you
think
can't.
Doctor Who would, if they want to continue with this kind of story arc kind of theme, I think they would do better to do what the X-Files did with their mythology stories.
Yes.
It's not in every story. It's when you feel the need
Absolutely.
that, okay, now we're going to hit on this story and make that story be about that, you know? And
Sure.
it would work better. And you can even do it over the course of, if you have 12 episodes, you really only need to do it with three, maybe four, to tell this massive tale that you want to tell. You know, it would be so much better. And I completely agree with you, James. And that's part of the big issue. We basically can ignore most of the arcs in the Russell T. Davis era because it's just a word mention usually. It's not like a big thing, you know, aside from season four when we see Rose popping up from time to time, but they don't drag it out. But when you get into Moff's era, I think that's a huge thing for me. You can't enjoy a single story for the story that it is, with the exception of, for some reason, and you know what, this is a very interesting thing to me. My actual favorite story from Smith's era is Time of Angels and Flesh and Stone. And while they do have the crack element still in there, and I know that a lot of people bitched and complained about the fix being that the doctor just used the crack that was there rather than, that makes it sound like he's an addict, but anyway, use the crack that was there rather than like a real thing. It was fine to me because I thought that was clever of him to go, well, I haven't figured out yet what this thing is, but I can use it to my advantage. But the thing that's really stands out for me is the fact that that is the first episode that Matt and Karen filmed, and I don't think they've been better since that episode.
I like Girl Who Waited for a similar reason, that it's an interesting concept and there is no continuity around it. You can just enjoy it for that one-off. I
Same here.
think Robots of Sherwood works for the same reason, even though the Doctor is very different to the rest of the series.
I think
It
I'd
is
have to
just
draw a
those
line there.
two.
Well, listen, are we going to, I mean, obviously, because we've been talking Time of the Rani and it isn't the invasion, we can't really have Time of the Rani as our recommendation, really. So we'll do some recommendations.
Can we recommend anything but Taimin and Irani?
We
Is that
could
a Taimin
recommend
and
anything
Irani
but Time of the Rani. I'm
recommendation?
going to start, because also, because interesting, Brian mentioned Love and Monsters earlier. I've started watching Peter Kay's new sitcom. Which is called Car Share, which is essentially a two-handed thing with him and a lady called Shan Gibson, and they're two people who work in a supermarket who are car sharing. And it hasn't been on TV yet; it's only been on iPlayer. And in the first episode, the first episode is really very strong, which is all I've watched so far. So I can't recommend the entire series, but I can recommend the first episode. And I don't want to tell you what happens, but it's very, very amusing and some laugh-out-loud moments in there. So. Peter Kay, who's a very, very, very good comedy actor and not so good as a Doctor Who monster.
I didn't mind him in Love and Monsters. I
He was
still
really
don't
good.
have
He
that.
was good before he turned into the Absorbloff, I think, and then it all went a bit panto, didn't it?
I
But
don't know.
yeah.
I still found that quite funny, the whole plum thing. He worked to me. The only thing I didn't like was, as Doctor Who fans, was the opening section, which I thought was too tomfoolery, too slapstick to feel. It felt daft.
What
But
was the opening section?
anyway,
Like Mr. Blue
you know,
Sky?
with them running with the corridors and the
Oh, that
bucket.
bit.
The
Yeah.
Scooby-Doo scene,
The
yeah.
Scooby-Doo,
Scooby-Doo scene, it just like it sort of almost undermined the show somehow, in a
Yeah,
way
it
that the
did, yeah.
rest of the show, while silly, didn't quite. But yeah, anyway.
I would honestly say about half of that show is worthwhile, and episode rather, and the other half is really just junk. Because I've said before that the whole Jackie subplot really works well, and it probably should have been more than the main focus. Yeah, and I did enjoy the clump joke myself, to be honest. Out of all the jokes that were in there, I kind of thought that was a funny reversal of the whole Rex Corcoran Valedictorious thing.
Indeed. Okay, so who else has a recommendation this week that isn't Time of the Rani? Because obviously we're not recommending Time of the Rani.
James, do you want to go or do you want me to go?
Oh, I think what I will do is therefore I will recommend another Sylvester McCoy.
Okay.
On the basis do good man. That,
the Hobbit?
Now, interesting enough, I was doing some critical reception stuff on The Hobbit, just looking through sort of various articles, and it's amazing how his name comes up as through various, you know, newspaper reviews as being the worst thing in The Hobbit, and I thought that's really unfair. I mean, to be fair, they weren't specifically saying it was McCoy, but it's such a shame because he did, to me, he was fine, he did a good job. I'm not a massive Hobbit fan, so to me,
yeah,
he didn't feel out of place particularly. I liked it.
I haven't seen any of the Hobbit movies yet.
I thought he was great in The Hobbit, okay? And I got to tell you, I went to a midnight showing of that film because my friends wanted to go. I don't have an interest in The Hobbit. I fell asleep. Amazingly, I woke up for every one of Sylvester McCoy's scenes. Don't ask me how, but I did. I saw them all because I even asked them at the end. I was like, I fell asleep. I said, I only saw these scenes with Sylvester. And like, that was all his scenes. I'm like, oh, great, perfect. Goals achieved then, you know? I thought he was great. The film, not so much, but I thought he was good.
No, the film was boring, yeah. But anyway, so what do I recommend? God, I could recommend virtually any Sylvester McCoy over that. But I would say if you've only seen Time of the Rani and you're not sure on his era, I still think either Remembrance of the Daleks or Curse of Fenric are probably the two to fight for. I would probably... If you're a hardcore classic Doctor Who fan, then go for Remembrance of the Daleks. If you're a new Doctor Who fan, I'd perhaps say go for Curse of Fenric or Ghostlight even, because you'll probably find those stories fit more of the model of the new series than maybe Remembrance of the Daleks does.
Yeah.
So both of those, really, because it won't take you too long to watch both those stories and you'll enjoy both of them.
Okay. Brian, yours?
Well, I was actually going to do the same as James, just because I felt we should be fair to Sylvester McCoy. So I want to echo his recommendation there, because those are two great stories.
Hey, how about why don't you recommend two Big Finish? Because you know the Big Finish is.
I was great minds, James. Great minds. I will actually, and I'll tell you what. I'm going to go ahead and give Mel a chance to be
good.
Redeemed as well, because I am going to recommend Flip Flop as one of my Big Finish stories, because not only was it a good story with a lot of like neat use of time travel, but it's a story that I really wish they had done on TV. And the premise of the story is that you get a black disc and a white disc. You don't get disc one and disc two. There's no actual order to these discs. You can buy this release and you can put in whatever disc you want to listen to first, and the story will still make complete sense. Now imagine that on TV as a two-part new series episode. Sure, you'd have one air one week and then another one air the week after. But think about it, at your home viewing, if you wanted to, you can watch the second episode first and the story would still make perfect sense to you. It was such a clever idea, showing the effects of time travel and how you can get caught essentially in a time loop, but you are able to freely leave it as well. It's unlike Doctor Who in Exos, where they basically trap someone in a time loop. They just are caught in this perpetual loop that they realize they're a part of. They've created it. And what you learn essentially is that it's not a time loop for the universe. If you broke this version of time, don't worry about it. You can leave there. It's just affecting this one planet. It's such a neat story. It was such a well-handled story. And it's great because... If you, I don't know, if you just like stories of set in parallel dimensions, I guess, which I do, you get to see what this situation is like from both sides of the fence, two parallel versions of this story. And I love that. So Flip Flop is a great one. I think Mel does well in the story. Certainly Sylvester does great in the story, and the writing on the story is just top notch. And it's tough to go ahead and just pick another full-on Sylvester story, because he's got so many damn good ones, to be perfectly honest. And
while
he's
you're
so good.
Of it, I'll just say that I might actually go and buy that. I mean, it's actually showing a Big Finish at the moment at a $2.99 price. So it's a
nice,
very good value if you actually want to take Brian's suggestion and put it to good use. £3 for the story is a pretty good deal.
It certainly is. Okay.
Nice.
Are we leaving it there?
I think I would also say too, just and I probably recommended this before, but I can't recommend it enough, The Harvest is another great Sylvester McCoy story because
Is that the
it
hospital
takes
one? Oh no,
yes.
that's human resources I'm thinking of.
No, Harvest is a hospital one, but
Oh right, okay.
you might be thinking of a different one. The Harvest, though, it takes a very classic villain and just does a very, very unique twist. Again, another story that it's a shame it wasn't like a TV episode or used in the new series because it would have just blown away any other version of the of these creatures that they had ever done, to be honest. It's a beautiful story. It introduces his new companion, Hex. Ace is in there as a much older, more wizened version of herself.
Right,
And they're
okay.
kind of a little Mission Impossible, I guess, if you want in it. But it's a very, 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 very good story.
Okay, excellent. Thank you, gentlemen, for a fantastic podcast this week. We're going to draw our discussion to a close there. We'll be back next time. I don't know what we'll be talking about. Something Doctor Who related, probably.